Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Kids Matter podcast, the place where you and your church take the next steps in your kids' ministry journey. We know you love Kidmen, and we want to give you the tools to succeed. Now, here's your hosts, Ryan Frank and Corey Jones.
Hey, friends, Ryan Frank, Corey Jones, Amber Pike. Welcome to episode number 88 of the Kids Matter podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, faithful podcast listeners, for listening in every week, whether you're listening on your commute to the church, or you're exercising on your Peloton, or you're making dinner, or I don't know what you're doing, but I'm glad that you're tuned in. What's up, Corey? What's up, Amber? How are you guys?
Pretty good. Not really exercising on my Peloton, though.
No, but you are wearing a nice Hawaiian shirt today. I think it's pretty nice. I did not get the memo. I'm the only one without floral pattern on my clothes.
Maybe next week.
Maybe next week.
Next week, we're not going to tell you what we're going to wear either.
Next week, we're probably going to each have oxygen masks on with tanks on our back, because we're going to be getting really, really close to this thing called MegaCon, which is 19 days from today. I don't know when we're pushing this podcast out, but today we're recording it on Thursday. It'll probably go out today or tomorrow. 19 days.
Ryan, are you feeling that pressure yet?
A little bit, yes. But it's a good pressure. Mm-hmm. Little pressure is good. We're just starting to get those, what I call the pre-MegaCon jitters. We're like, I've been excited about MegaCon all year, but you start getting really close and it starts getting really real. What about you guys? You getting excited?
I'm wondering why you're saying you're just now getting these jitters, because I've had these jitters for a while.
Have you had the jitters?
Well, I have like nightmares about like things going wrong already.
Well, we should probably define jitters. So I'm talking about that, like that sense of excitement where it starts seeming really real. Yeah. I've not had any nightmares lately. So.
Oh, I do. I'll have nightmares about VBS for like months before on everything that could go wrong, does go wrong. And it's how I deal with my stress.
Is it? Yeah. You're one of those types.
I am.
Corey, have you had any nightmares about MegaCon?
No, just dreams of those Lucy's floats. Those are good dreams. They're sweet.
Beth and I were literally just working on that a few minutes ago. It's going to be pretty nice. I thought we were going to offer like three different gourmet sodas at MegaCon. I think we're offering six or seven gourmet sodas.
Nice.
And we'll have our marshmallow cream and our
the cookies. Lucy special.
The Lucy special will be there.
My favorite.
Even a drink this year. This time around, we've got a special drink called the Kidmen.
Ooh, I didn't know we get a special drink.
It is. Let me tell you about it. I'm going to look it up on my phone here to tell you what it is. Okay, the Kidmen is Coke with cherry syrup, vanilla syrup, and half cream. The Kidmen. It's going to be a good one. Yeah. So anyway, hey, let's pause for a minute. We want to thank KidCheck for sponsoring today's episode of the Kids Matter podcast. KidCheck is a great way to make sure that your kids and families are safe at church. If you're wanting to improve your security, if you're wanting to streamline your check-in, if you really wish that you had something that would integrate with the management software that your church uses, or you just want to increase your efficiency, go check out kidcheck.com. They also have a lot of free downloads that will help you in your children's ministry week after week. We've been dear friends of the team at KidCheck for many years. They're great ministry partners, and they really understand how to check kids in and do it safely and efficiently. So thank you, kidcheck.com, for sponsoring today's episode and next week's episode of the Kids Matter podcast. All right, Corey, how long you been in Kidmen? When did you start?
Well, I'm one of those few that I had a math teacher my junior year in high school take a chance on me and allow me to start teaching in an official church role. So gosh, that would have been 2003 probably. So,
and that's something.
Half my life, at least.
Half your life. How old were you then?
I would have been like 17, probably.
17. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm not great at math, so.
That's pretty neat.
Well, that's interesting because I'm also one of those people. I was 15. Really small country church. And we didn't have a children's minister at the time. And we were using curriculum that we didn't have all the components to. So the volunteer teachers would come in and the lessons literally wouldn't work because we didn't have the stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, one of the teenage helpers. You get the snacks and help with the craft. So I went to the pastor. I'm like, can I take over? Because this isn't working. And our church was that small. And I was that mature that they're like, sure, 15-year-old, you can run the children's ministry. So I've been in it over half my life too.
Yeah. And then
you guys are aging yourself. I'm just saying.
You started like probably when you were probably 40, maybe, I don't know, maybe 80 years ago.
Jones.
Yeah.
I might pull your ticket to MegaCon when you show up and try to check in. They're going to say, Corey, who?
I'd pay. It's worth it.
Okay.
First, he doesn't tell you about the shirts. Then he makes fun of you.
I know. It's a good thing I love Corey and we go back so much. Otherwise, it really would hurt my feelings.
So how many years for?
Okay. So I think I officially started. I would say I officially started when I was in sixth grade. I started volunteering on a church bus route. So we had a bus route that picked up kids on Sunday morning and Thursday night. They needed help on Thursday nights bringing kids to Awana. Which is kind of funny. I was 12 years old, so I was as old as the kids were. But the bus would come by my house. The bus route was in Swayze, which is the town that I lived in. So they came by my house first and picked me up. And then I helped. And really all through junior high and senior high, I was really involved in the bus ministry. If you've ever, those of you podcast listeners, if you have any experience in bus ministry, you know, people in bus ministry take it really, really seriously. So you have like a bus driver, and then you have a bus captain, and a lot of bus routes will have a bus co-captain, and then you have a runner, and then you have helpers. So your driver obviously drives the bus. Your captain is in charge of the route, telling the driver where to go, who to pick up, who not to pick up, making sure that the kids are well-behaved. The captain also would A good bus captain will do some kind of a program on the bus. So by the time when that last kid gets picked up and you've got a 10, 20, 25 minute drive to the church, instead of just letting the kids talk, you sing songs, you have some kind of a program. The runner is the one, and this is what I did a lot when I was 12, 13, 14. I was the runner. You stop at the kid's house and the runner runs up to the door, knocks on the door. You know, there were times I had to help kid, like, you know, finish up breakfast and get out the door to the bus. And then your helpers are your people that just kind of sit with the kids. But I learned so much about kids ministry, you know, by running a bus route. I mean, when you've got 50 or 60 kids on the bus and you got to try to do a program and keep them quiet and get them excited. And you've got to stay organized. It was a neat experience. We still have the bus ministry at our church. COVID's kind of changed it. We had to stop running buses for a while, but they've started slowly picking the bus routes back up again. And it's neat. I saw a kid yesterday, actually. I ran into Dollar Tree for a minute to grab something for Beth. And there was, I call him a kid, probably a 25-year-old, 30-year-old person that I recognized from the bus ministry, and he recognized me. So it's neat when you see these kids that rode your bus. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I've started. That's when I started, probably as a preteen, 12, 13. So let's keep this conversation rolling for a minute. What in all of these years of serving in kids ministry, what do you think one big lesson is that we've each learned? I'm sure we could share several lessons, but if you were going to share with the podcast listeners one big lesson you've learned, what would you share? Corey, what do you think?
Well, I think in my first ministry, there were a lot of times that it was trying to figure out what I was doing more on the fly, less planning. And I learned that if you don't make a plan, the kids are going to make a plan.
That's exactly right.
I learned I needed to just come in better prepared, that I knew not just like I'm doing this craft, but what am I saying before it? What am I saying during it? How am I connecting this to the gospel? And then I think over the years, seeing different ways that some proactive planning during the week can help just everything. Ryan, you've shared a lot about having like that toolbox, the back pocket, grab it out and get it kind of activities. And I think having stuff, just a plethora, a library ready to go, helps the times where my plan maybe went a little short or the pastor went a little bit long.
Exactly.
Being able to use that time in a way that is beneficial versus just childcare for kids.
I'm with you on that. Preparation is huge. I mean, I would rather over prepare and have more stuff than I'll ever get to, than having that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I'm out of stuff to do. And there's,
but
still
it
like,
never works the way you want. The pastor never runs long on those weeks where you're having trouble getting it all fit in. It's on the weeks where like no one had any questions and everyone was done in 2 seconds. And now you're like, okay.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. All right, Amber, what's one big lesson you've learned?
I think mine would have to be, in reflecting upon where I started at 15, just growing and getting deeper. Like, I looked at the lessons that I created at 15, and boy, are they not so good. They're really, really simple. And like, honestly, for what it was probably pretty awesome that a 15-year-old put that together and the kids were hearing about Jesus. But now with everything that I've learned, with the experience I've learned and people I've listened to, I really didn't do all that those kids needed. And like, I'm not being hard on myself because I was 15. I truly did my best. But giving kids more, not going the simple route, just really challenging them. I'm very passionate about that now because they're capable of so much more. They need so much more than just, well, let's play a game and have a snack and I'll read to you a Bible story. I want it to be more. And I've liked learning about that. And like right now I'm in a season of honestly challenge because all of my older kids just moved to youth group, much to my dismay. And now I have a group of primarily preschoolers. The other Sunday there was my son and one other girl, and those were our only readers. We have another kid who can't read where he needs to, and the rest were preschool and kindergartners. They can't read. That changes my entire dynamic of how I do lessons. So I'm back in that learning phase of, all right, now I'm just catering to preschoolers pretty much, but still having to keep my just small handful of older kids engaged. So growing, making your lessons better, giving it more depth, but then also trying to do a better job at reaching all kids, really learning about learning styles and learning smarts and all of that. That's the importance of that, I think, has been the lesson I've learned in the last 19 years of ministry.
That's awesome. Yeah. Only Amber can take like one thing, and you actually just shared about 52 tips right there. That was good. So podcast listeners, go back and listen to that and listen to it slow, and you're going to catch a lot of tips. I think for me, was two things come to mind. One was the kids themselves, the importance of doing new things, and especially for elementary kids, maybe younger kids or early childhood, maybe they need that routine of the same thing every week. But for older kids, doing something new every week, I think is huge. And that doesn't mean you have to spend money on it. Maybe it's instead of the kids facing this wall, you turn the chairs around and they face the other wall on a given Sunday, or the boys and girls switch sides, or you do a new game, or you give away a new kind of prize you've never given away. But doing something new, I think, is huge. I've learned. And I think as far as a leader yourself, a lesson I learned the hard way, and I still have to work on it, but I think I've improved, is you can be the greatest kids pastor in the world as far as like great in front of a group of kids, but if you're lousy at relating to the adults, you're really going to be in trouble. So you've got to not only grow your skills as like a kid communicator and making it fun for the kids and engaging for the kids, but you've got to be able to work well with the other adults in the room and the other volunteers and the other leaders at the church and their parents. I've seen so many people that are well-credentialed and they're great in front of a group of kids, but they have lousy interpersonal skills with other adults. And so as a result, they can never get anybody to work for them. They can never get volunteers to help. There's always some kind of a conflict because they lack the common sense on how to deal with the crisis and that kind of stuff. So yeah, boy, there's two ideas. Lots of good stuff. Thanks, guys.
Now, Ryan, we're all about to step into MegaCon. It's an opportunity for us to be with people, to learn from them. Some people at MegaCon are going to be further down the road than us and have wisdom through the ages. Some people are going to be fresh and have a fresh perspective, new way of doing things. And so do you have any advice for us when going to a conference, ways that you can learn from others?
There is going to be so much. Okay. Yeah. So much I could say here, and maybe we can bounce back and forth, and maybe we could just each take about 30 seconds and share some things. So we're getting ready to go to MegaCon. How do you really learn from others? Here's the first thing that came to my mind immediately. Get in prayer mode right now. So right now, begin praying and asking God, God, would you show me the breakouts that I need to go to? And if I need to change when I get there and switch breakouts, would you put that on my heart? Would you put me in the right room at the right time with the right people? God, would you bless what I'm going to do? That's my first thought. Amber.
I would say strike up conversations. You never know who you're going to meet, what you all are going to connect with. So not just the amazing ministry partners. We have like 80 ministry partners that are going to be there that want to partner with you in your ministry. And they have amazing products and resources, but talk to someone next to you. Even if you're an introvert like me, I'm an introvert. If you put me in a room full of kids, I'm great. Put me in a room full of adults inside, I'm really uncomfortable and have to struggle to make like small talk. Yeah. Do it. Even if it's hard for you, talk to the person next to you because they might be that person that God wants you to connect with, that you're going to learn from, grow from, be a lifelong best friend. So just talk to people.
Jonesy.
I would probably share a pet peeve of mine. When you're at a conference, don't be just measuring yourself against other people. Don't be asking the size of their church and all those kind of things. Figure out a couple of the areas where you know you need to grow and ask specific questions, regardless of church size. Maybe you hint at it to just kind of get a context or something. But there's so many conversations that are just me measuring up against you, you measuring up against me, and then we're done. And that's pointless. And so focus on the important things.
Let's do one more round. You'll more than likely be taking good notes. When you get to MegaCon, you're going to have several ways to take notes. Corey, we're days away from announcing the app being live and ready to download. You're going to love the MegaCon app. You can take notes on the app itself, which is going to be pretty cool if you're one of those types. We're also giving you the resource of the Kids Matter magazine. Is also the MegaCon issue. And we put lots of pages in there for you to write notes.
There's extra pages this year.
Extra. Yeah. Those two articles I was supposed to write, I never got around to it. So we put extra pages for you to take notes. Maybe you're going to bring your own moleskin or notebook or something. I would take notes, but beyond here's a little hack. And this helps me, Corey. At the end of each day, you know, you've got like handouts that the breakout presenters have given you. You've written notes in the magazine. You've got all these notes. Now what you need to do at the end of each day is you need to go through and I can't think of the word I'm wanting to say, but highlight, circle, like what are the big things here that I want to remember? Corey, what am I wanting to say? It's on the tip of my tongue.
Like your takeaways or your next steps.
That's it. Yeah. What are some of my big takeaways from the day? What are some of my next steps from today? You can do this when you get home, and it may work for you. For me, when I get home, I immediately start getting busy again. And then, you know, a week later, I'm like, I want to go back to my notes. And then I've got all these great notes and I've got to kind of get back into that mindset. So it helps me to pull out those action points and my big takeaways while I'm at the conference. That's a hack. from writing.
Brittany Nelson at Deeper Kidman has a whole kind of system in place. We ran an article in 2019 about it, like your post-conference plan. And she says, before you even go home, like go to a coffee shop, sort through your notes, and you pick out like one. You pick out the one thing that needs to happen right away, because there's so amazing, so many amazing things. You can't do it all. You can't start it all. You can't buy it all. So really kind of channel all of that and focus on what needs to happen now. Like what's the short term and then the long term we want to work towards. And then with that, you can't absorb it all. There is so much. There are so many ministry partners, so many sessions. So get MegaCon to go. There is a wealth of amazing. How is it, like 190 breakouts or something crazy like that? Yep. There are so many breakouts. You physically can't be at all of them. So you can go ahead and order MegaCon to go, and you can listen to the rest of the conference that you couldn't attend in person at your leisure. You can take the time, take the notes, and you can soak it all in, because it's a lot for an amazing price.
It is. Amber, I think if you could find that article, I think we should email it out before MegaCon.
Yeah.
Just as a reminder, like, hey, we know God's got some great things in store, and this will help you. If you could find that article, we'll send it out. All right, Corey, wrap up this part.
So thinking about conference 2 years ago, I think one of the best things when I connected with somebody and was like, man, this is a good connection. I didn't just exchange like contact, but I scheduled an appointment to follow up. And so like it helped with, you know, TiVo. I met him for the first time at your conference and was like, oh, he is sharp. Let's get contact information and connect later. And he's been a resource, a wealth of knowledge. And so, scheduling a couple of those, I wouldn't over intimidate everybody, but if you're able to do a follow-up with at least one person, it would just be golden for you and your ministry.
Love it. All right. Well,
so as we wrap up, what we're all saying is you need to get your ticket to MegaCon.
There you go. Don't have it. One reason we picked Nashville, there's a great church there. And second, 80%, they say 80% of people in the United States are within a 1 day drive of Nashville. So most of you, if you wanted to bad enough, you could get in the car and drive and be there. We'd love to have you. We're going to have so many training opportunities, great worship, some fun parking lot parties. We're giving away a car, lots of Kidman swag that you can get your hands on. You can meet a lot of our ministry partners and make new friends. You can even get your picture with Corey Jones and maybe even in a Hawaiian shirt. I don't know. Corey, you going to pack a Hawaiian shirt with you?
Well, I got, how many days did you say?
19 days.
19 days. I can probably do laundry between now and then.
I think you probably could. All right. Well, let's wrap up with just a little bonus tip here. Amber had this idea. It's a great idea. Who are we learning from right now? So, Amber, you want to kick us off? Who are you learning from?
And I should have prepared and looked at the author of the book, but I'm in a very busy season in life. So instead of doing Kidman learning right now, I just kind of wanted to just do some personal learning. And so I'm reading the new book, Gentle and Lowly, and I don't remember who it's from, but it's all about just learning about Jesus's character. So that's been a fun little kind of break from Kidman learning and just refilling my spiritual tank.
Yeah, love it. Corey?
I've been listening to a lot, and it's weird because he's like bouncing around all the world, but Carrie Newhoff, I listen to his podcast religiously, but he's been on pretty much every other podcast that I'm also listening to. And he's been talking a lot just about leading at your best, I think is what his big push right now is, and realizing that God's put a time in you where you are at your best in the week or in the day. And so for me, I know like my 9 to 11 o'clock is when I can crank out projects. I can really get stuff done. Whereas 2:30 is usually a brick wall, and I should not schedule my deepest thinking for that time. I should schedule maybe some emails or less brain work type projects. And it's been golden for me to put that into practice. And so Carrie Newhoff, he's who I'm currently learning from. Good luck spelling his last name.
And you got it right. I love Carrie Newhoff. He is just such a bright mind. I am rereading a little book. It's a hardcover, but it's a quick read by John Maxwell, How Successful People Think. And it's a quick read. I love it. You know, if you look at successful people in business, if you look at successful people in church work and ministry, about any area of life, in athletics, any area, technology, one thing they have in common is how they think. They think different than everybody else. And so you can, I've heard Jim Weidman say it a million times. I know you have, Corey, the difference between a leader and a follower is the way they think. I'm sure he stole that quote from John Maxwell, but he's never admitted it.
Maxwell stole it from him.
But there truly is something to training your brain how to think as a leader. And how do you solve problems? I was scrolling through LinkedIn this morning and somebody said, I don't remember who it was, not a Kidman person, but they said the size of your paycheck is in large part determined by the size of the problems you solve. And the point being, like, you bring the most value to your organization. The value you bring your organization, let me say it this way, is directly proportionate to how well you are solving problems. And the more you can solve problems and think through things, the more valuable you're going to be. So even as a Kidman leader, you know, you need to really be growing your thinking skills. How do I solve problems? Not just the problems in the kids ministry, but how can I help solve my pastor's problems? How can I help solve my coworkers' problems? Yeah, we all need to learn how to think better. Hey, great episode, guys. It's a wrap. Kids Matter, episode number 88. Thanks again to KidsShack.com for sponsoring today's episode. Kidman leaders, if you've not checked that out in a while, please go to KidsShack.com. They can really help you with your check-in process and efficiency. And we can't wait to see y'all at MegaCon. It's coming up in just 19 days from today, Nashville, Tennessee. Not too late to get your tickets. The website is megacon2021.com. Finally, if you have not subscribed to the podcast, please subscribe to the podcast. If you subscribed and you haven't rated or reviewed the podcast, you could do that as well. It would mean the world to us. Friends, thanks so much. Amber, Corey, thanks. We'll talk to y'all next time.
This episode might be over, but the conversation is just getting started. Head over to the I Love Kidmin Facebook group and let's talk about your next steps in your kids' ministry journey.